together on Sunday evenings, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit together, seeking to develop in our lives, through the grace of the Lord, the character of Christ in our hearts, in our thinking, in our attitudes, and then expressed in our words and our actions. And Paul has given us a good description of that character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And in that passage, Paul lists a character quality that we're going to be looking at tonight, the quality of faithfulness. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." And so tonight, we're going to be looking at the theme of faithfulness. And the first thing that I want us to think about tonight is that faithfulness is defined by God's dependability and trustworthiness. Our faithfulness, any faithfulness that we can have, is going to be patterned after God, who is the supreme example of faithfulness. God is faithful. As I was thinking about some of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit and how that they're first in God before they can ever be in us, I was thinking about the fact that these character qualities of God, love, joy, tonight, faithfulness, these character qualities of God, they are eternal because God is eternal. And so these character qualities of God did not come into being at creation. God has always been faithful. God has always been loving. God has always been joyful, even before there was a universe, even before there were people. You say, how can that be? How can God express love? How can God be faithful without anybody to show love to or anybody to show faithfulness to? But that's the beauty of worshiping the triune God, isn't it? In that in the Trinity, God, in essence, was never alone. That there was always within the eternal relationship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always a perfect and eternal expression of love. Always an eternal and perfect joy expressed in the Trinity. Always an eternal and perfect faithfulness, which we'll be looking at tonight. That within the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Spirit are always in harmony, always in unison, always trustworthy, always dependable, always faithful. And then God made the world. He made everything that is. And in that, think about the world, think about the universe, think about everything that God made as a stage in which God can perform, in which God can show off, if you will, those eternal qualities that have always been His. And so He's always been faithful, He's always been loving, He's always been joyful, but now with a world, now with people made in His image that He has created, now He can show that off, if you will, in His relationships, not only within the triune God, but now with the people that He's made. So now He can show His love to the people that He's made. He can show His grace and His mercy and His faithfulness to people that He's made. And as we read the Bible story, it doesn't take long for us to see that God's faithfulness is going to be taxed from the very beginning and all the way through the whole history of the Bible. Think about the fact that God made Adam and Eve. He put them into the garden and gave them one command. Almost kind of think of a parent, right? I told you to do one thing, right? And you didn't do it. One thing. God said to Adam and Eve, everything is yours. Boundless freedom in the Garden of Eden. You want that fruit? Eat it. You want that fruit? Eat it. You want that fruit? Eat it. It's yours. Anything that you want, this one tree, do not eat from it. You do, you will die. And what did Adam and Eve do? They disobeyed. They were unfaithful, weren't they? They were unfaithful. They broke their commitment with God. They disobeyed God. And yet, through that, God is faithful. And that's the story of the Scriptures. God is faithful to unfaithful people. God is faithful to sinners such as us. And so God was faithful to Adam and Eve, even when they proved unfaithful. Abraham stumbled in his faith. Remember, God came to Abraham and made a promise, made a covenant with Abraham. Well, how many times did Abraham stumble in his faith? Abraham doubted. Abraham took matters into his own hands at times. Abraham tried to fix things himself sometimes and didn't wait and trust on God. Sometimes he faltered, but God was faithful to Abraham. Jacob, his grandson, was a deceiver and a trickster. And yet, through all that, God was faithful to Abraham and to the promises that he made to him and to his descendants. God was faithful. God was faithful to his people in Egypt. He remembered the covenant that he made with them. He sent Moses to bring them out. And Moses led them out because of the faithfulness of God and brought them to the base of Mount Sinai, where the people of Abraham entered into a covenant with God. And they said, God, everything you tell us, we'll do it. So Moses goes back up in the mountain, and what do they do while Moses is gone? They make a cow out of gold and start bowing down to it. Unfaithful. And yet, what was God? He was faithful. He was faithful. He was reliable, dependable, trustworthy, never breaking his promises, always there, always true, never failing, never breaking his covenant oaths that he had made. That's who our God is. And so we learn from the very beginning of the Scriptures in Exodus 34, verse 6, a supreme description of the character of God. When God reveals himself to Moses and allows a portion of his glory to pass in front of him, and God reveals to Moses something about himself, and he says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and that's who God is. He is faithful. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, God, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So faithful is God that he can be described as a rock, as a fortress, immovable, sure, a foundation on which you can build. God is faithful and true. Think about with me Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're moving way forward in Israel's history now. Think about what has transpired from Deuteronomy to Nehemiah. The people had a long line of kings who were unfaithful, a long line of rebellion, a long history of apostasy and rejecting God. And so God sent them into exile. And now, in his mercy and his faithfulness, he has not forgotten his promises, and he has brought them back home again now after exile. And Nehemiah and Ezra are leading the people in rebuilding. And as they are restoring community life in Israel after the exile, notice what Nehemiah says about God. Nehemiah 9, verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love. There's his faithfulness. God keeps his covenant of love. Do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes. The hardship that has come on us, on our kings, and leaders, on our priests and prophets, on our ancestors and all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. There was Nehemiah saying, why did all this happen? All this hardship, all this trouble, the exile that we went into in Babylon, why did all this happen? This happened to us because we have sinned. He said, God, you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully while we have acted wickedly. God is faithful even to unfaithful people. our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. But God is faithful. And so tonight we're thinking about the faithfulness that we need to have in our lives. And our pattern for that is God. God is faithful, always has been faithful, and is faithful to people who don't deserve to have that faithfulness shown to them. In the Psalms, I was searching on this theme of faithfulness, and I found countless verses in the Psalms that talk about the faithfulness of God. And here's just a couple of them. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 36, verse 5. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. God is eternally faithful. And then probably from the Old Testament, one of the most famous passages on the faithfulness of God is in Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is an abiding, dependable, reliable rock that his people can depend on. That's how the Old Testament describes God. What about the New Testament? How does the New Testament describe the faithfulness of God? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, with regard to our lives and the temptations and the trials that we face, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In other words, everything that we face in life, nothing is too challenging for us because God is with us. And whatever temptation, whatever trial that we may need to go through, God is there. He never leaves. He is a faithful friend. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. There are forces out there, there's enemies out there that want to undo you, but God is on your side if you are his child, and he will not forsake you. He is faithful, and he will not give you over to the evil one. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why does God do this? Because of what he has done in Christ. In Christ, he has provided redemption. In Christ, there is atonement. And so if we are in Christ, then our sins have been covered. Our sins have been forgiven. And when we ask God for forgiveness, he is faithful to forgive because of what he has promised. And he is just to forgive because Jesus Christ has taken our sin on himself. And so he's faithful and he forgives as he has promised that he would do. And then I found a few passages in the New Testament that I thought went together that talked about how God is faithful in what he starts in our lives as Christians. He brought us to himself through the redeeming work of his Son. Then he applied the benefits, as we saw this morning, he applied the benefits of Christ's redemption to our lives through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't leave us there. God doesn't give us birth and then just let us go. God is a faithful, guiding Father who never leaves us, and he is faithful. What he starts, he brings us through and finishes. Think about these passages along those lines. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about passages that talk about eternal security, sometimes we think of John 10, no one can pluck out of my Father's hand. We think of Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There are several other places in the New Testament that affirm that what God starts, he finishes. And here's one. God is going to keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, namely when Jesus returns and comes back again. The next verse says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, what 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 is saying is that God is the one who called you, and He is faithful, and so He is going to finish what He started all the way to the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, along the same lines. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you, that is, make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Who is the one who is going to preserve us and sanctify us all the way until the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is our faithful God who gave us birth. He is going to finish what He started. Philippians 1:6. This doesn't use the word faithfulness, but it has the same idea. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to finish what He started in our lives. He's going to make us holy. And now notice, there's a beginning and there's an end, right? He gave us birth, and then these passages talk about God keeping us to the end, to the day of Jesus Christ. But what's in the middle? Sanctify us through and through, 1 Thessalonians says. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. That's what we're talking about in the fruit of the Spirit. That's the process that's going on right now in our lives. God started something in our salvation. He's going to finish it at glorification. But in the meantime, in the period of our lives that we're in now, He is continually molding us and shaping us and sanctifying us after the pattern of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Spirit that He's given to us. That's the process that we're in right now, this growing, developing, sanctifying process that will one day be finished and completed when Jesus returns. And so God is faithful. Now, one of the things that I want us to think about tonight is I want us to think about the close relationship between faithfulness and faith. Faithfulness and faith. And the reason why there's such a close relationship between these ideas is because in the Greek language in the New Testament, it's the same Greek word. There's one word that's used in the New Testament for both faith and faithfulness. And it depends on the context, it depends on how it is used, which side or which nuance, which side of the coin we're focusing on. And sometimes they go together. Think about it with me. God is faithful, which means what? He is therefore worthy of our faith. Because God is reliable, because He is dependable, because He is trustworthy, He is someone who can be trusted in. We put our faith in God because He is faithful. We put our trust in God because He is trustworthy. We rely on God because He is reliable. So because of who God is, it elicits faith and trust from us. So God is worthy of our faith because He is faithful. So I want us to think about that. Faithfulness and faith. God is faithful. He invites our faith in Him because He is faithful and trustworthy. And then that faith that we express to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith then serves as the foundation for our faithfulness. We believe, we trust, and that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ serves as the foundation for the faithfulness that flows from that faith. And so, number one is faithfulness is defined by God's dependability and trustworthiness. God is faithful. Number two, our faithfulness should be based on our faith in God and modeled after God's faithful character. Our faithfulness is based on our faith in God and modeled after God's faithful character. And so faith is the foundation for faithfulness. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." What serves as the foundation for these other qualities that he's going to list? Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in what Jesus has done for us. Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Building on your faith, here is now a list of virtues, which interestingly enough, closely resembles Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In other words, here is a list of Christ-like, God-like qualities that should be being produced in your lives, and it is built on faith. And so from faith flows all the other qualities of the Spirit, including faithfulness. And so add to your faith goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love. These qualities flow from faith. And so how should we be faithful now? Faith is the foundation. We build on that foundation, and we want to express faithfulness modeled after the pattern of God, who is faithful and dependable and reliable. In what ways should we be faithful? Just a couple that I'm going to share with you tonight. We should be faithful in our obedience to Christ and His Word. We should be faithful in our obedience to Christ and His Word. Ephesians 2:10. He saved us by grace, and then He has made us His workmanship, His craft, His project, so that we will do the good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. And so He has bought us, He has saved us, He has made us alive, and He has saved us by grace through faith, so that we will then do the works that He has prepared for us to do. And one of those works He has prepared for us to do is to be faithful in our lives. Faithful in our obedience to Christ and His Word. Think about, here's a few texts that emphasize the idea of faithfully obeying God. Faithfully obeying the Lord. Galatians 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. That was his pattern, to walk repeatedly, faithfully, habitually with God. That was Noah, and he was considered a blameless man. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." Walk faithfully before me. And so we should be faithful in our obedience to the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. We all know the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. In that parable, Jesus gives, he says that there is a master, there are some people that he entrusts with some resources, and there are some who take advantage of that opportunity and who are shown to be faithful. Because they take those talents, they take those resources, they put them to good use, and they bring back a return. They bring back fruit, product from their faithfulness. But there is one who is unfaithful, and he does nothing with what has been given to him, and he is rejected. In the parable, the ones who are faithful are the model of Christ's disciples, the model of Christ's faithful people. And in Matthew 25, 20, and 21 says, "The man who had received the 5 bags of gold brought the other 5, ones that he had invested wisely and brought back a return, and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more.' And his master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" In Matthew 25, the whole chapter is about the division between those who are Christ's people, the true followers of Christ, and those who are not. And one of the traits of those who are truly Christ's people is that they are faithful and dependable with what Christ entrusts them. They're faithful servants. Revelation 2, verse 10. To the church of Smyrna, a church that was persecuted, a church that was going through difficult times. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Be faithful, even to the point of death. Faithful to whom? Faithful to Christ. Faithful to his gospel. Faithful to his message. Not bowing down to the world or to the idols of the world. Faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, since we're here on this verse, let me just say that there is a time coming soon. I don't claim to be a prophet, but there's a time coming soon in which we will need to choose faithfulness to Christ and possibly face prison as a result. He says, be faithful to the church of Smyrna. They were facing persecution. And they were facing the choice of, do I bow down to the world and go along with what the world is saying, and then I can be free? Or do I be faithful to Christ and endure the persecution and suffering that may go along with it? And I think we're getting closer and closer to that point. It is no longer popular to be a Christian. It's not cool to be a Christian in our age. At least if you're faithful to Christ. Already in Britain and in Canada, pastors have been fined and imprisoned for speaking the truth about what the Bible says about various issues, including issues of morality. In Canada, just to quote a verse, not even to say anything about it and explain it, but just to quote a verse could be considered hate speech and be fined. And we're not far away from that. Be faithful. Faithful to Christ. Dependable in our obedience to the Lord. Another way, though, that I think Paul is primarily meaning it in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, in the fruit of the Spirit, is in our relationships with other people. As the other qualities are, love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, in our relationships with other people, he is wanting us to be faithful. And so we should be faithful in our relationships with others. Matthew 23, verse 23 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And so the Pharisees were so careful about everything, all these little insignificant matters of the law and regulations that they had come up with, and they said, "We're going to tithe, we're going to give exactly a tenth on everything, even down to the minutest detail of these little herbs and spices." But Jesus says to them, "You're missing the point, because you may be tithing on these little spices, but here is your fellow man who needs food to live. Show mercy to him, and show justice to him, and be faithful to your commitments to other people. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Think about what the law is really about. Faithfulness expressed in our relationships with other people. There are several areas of our lives that I think we can express faithfulness. One is in our speech, that we can have honesty in our speech. Being honest with one another in the things that we say. You ever told a white lie just to save face? You ever exaggerated a story to make yourself seem more important than you really were? We need faithfulness and integrity in our speech, in the way that we talk to one another. We need to be dependable and faithful in keeping our word, the commitments and the obligations that we make to each other. Now, I know that as I'm preaching about faithfulness, that every single one of us in this room, every one of us, and I'm standing here along with you, every one of us is thinking, man, I messed up. There have been times in my life where I've not been faithful. There have been times in my life when I told somebody that I would do something and I didn't do it. There have been times when I made a promise that I didn't keep it. I said I would be somewhere at a certain time and I wasn't there. I forgot. I was late. I said I would help somebody with something and I didn't do it. None of us are perfect. The great thing is that Jesus is. Jesus is perfect. He is the perfectly faithful one. And what we have failed to do, He has done for us. He has lived a perfectly faithful, reliable, dependable life for us. He has taken on Himself on the cross every lack of faithfulness that we have ever committed. Every sin that we've ever done, every promise that we've broken, every lie that we've told, every lazy and forgetful moment of our lives, Jesus Christ has taken all of our imperfections on Himself. And so He has accomplished for us what we could never do for ourselves. But then He has called us to Himself and said, now I want you to follow me and I want you to be like me. And so we're not being faithful to earn heaven. Heaven's already been earned. Jesus earned heaven for His people. Jesus earned forgiveness for us. We're not seeking to be faithful so that we can earn heaven or earn a relationship with God. Jesus did that. We're seeking to be faithful because we want to be like Him. We want to be like God. He put His Spirit into our hearts so that we would increasingly become more and more like Him. Because that's the work that He's doing in us all the way till the day of redemption. So we're not going to be perfect in this, but we are growing. We are being molded into the image of Christ. And so we need to be dependable in keeping our word and our commitments and obligations. That includes in business, in employment, the contracts, the agreements that we enter into. We need to be faithful to those. Proverbs 10, verse 26 speaks to dependability when it says, as vinegar to the teeth, and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. Vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes, they're not pleasant things. They're bitter and they're irritating. And so you send a lazy person on a job, well, guess what happens? The job doesn't get done. And so the implication is the lazy person is not dependable. The lazy person is not faithful. The lazy person is not reliable. We need to be reliable people. As much as the Lord gives us the grace to do it, we need to keep our word, our commitments. And so we should be dependable in our obligations. We should be loyal, honest, dependable, loyal in our relationships. In our family relationships, in our church relationships, in our friendships, we need to be faithful. One of the qualities of being a leader in the church, 1 Timothy 3:2, is that the potential elder or pastor or deacon would be someone who is faithful to his wife, faithful in his family commitments, faithful to his marriage, faithful leader of his children, it says a little bit later on in the passage. So we need to be loyal in our family commitments. And this is not just something that's for elders and deacons. These qualities that are listed in 1 Timothy 3 are the ideal qualities that every Christian should be striving for. So we should be loyal to our family and church and friendships, those relationships. Keeping our promises. Even when it is difficult, even when it is hard. Sometimes being faithful will cost us. Sometimes being faithful and dependable will cost us. We'll have to sacrifice in order to keep our word. Let me just give you an example. Maybe you make a promise to somebody, and you make a promise about something a month down the road, and then because you forgot about it, because we're finite and human, you also make another obligation on that same day, at that same time. And so now you have two things going on at that same time. And you want to do one. One is for yourself. One is a commitment that you made to another person. And here, let's make it more specific. You told somebody that you'd help them a week from Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Saturday rolls around and you remember, this is kickoff day for Alabama football, right? I really want to watch the opening game, but I told my friend that I would do this. What does dependability say? Dependability says you help your friend and you fulfill your obligation even at cost to yourself. And so in Psalm 15, verse 1, it asks the question, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, casts no slur on others. And then notice verse 4. Who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts. It does not change your mind. That's dependability. That is faithfulness. Someone who says, I'm going to do something, and then they fulfill that, even if it means it's going to cost them. And it's going to hurt. Some sacrifice. And so the main idea tonight is this. As God's children, we should be faithful in all our commitments and relationships, just as our Heavenly Father is faithful to us. And when we lack, when we fail, when we are unfaithful, we can be assured of this. Our God never ceases to be faithful. And our Lord Jesus Christ makes up for any lack that we have. And if we go and confess our sins, He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from every unrighteousness. And so may we be like our Heavenly Father. Let's bear the family resemblance. Let's bear the family resemblance. You ever seen a little boy who wants to act just like his dad? He emulates him. He models his life after him. I remember one time when I was a boy that my dad was an auto mechanic, and so I wanted to be like my dad. And so I remember I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and I slid under the bed like my dad would slide under cars on a little crawler and work on the car under the car. So I slid under the bed, and I was working on the bottom of my bed because I wanted to be like my dad. Well, spiritually speaking, we want to be like our dad. We want to be like our Father. He's loving. He's just. He's merciful. He's faithful. And so let's be faithful and dependable as our Father.